Good evening. I'm going to try this again. Can you hear me? Is that all right? Is that on? Check. There we go. We're good. I have to get accustomed to saying good evening because I'm used to saying good morning. You know how that usually works. I have to tell you, I apologize. I was a few seconds late getting here. We drove straight from Topeka to here, and Sunday morning service ran a little bit long this morning. So we got in the car, drove here, and I pulled up exactly when Jay was praying. So with that being said, I do not know what songs you sang, and I know God has been here with you in your time of worship tonight. So I come to bring the word, and hopefully it falls on the ears that God wants it to fall on. This evening, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. We'll be looking there and starting halfway through the chapter. I want to say something real quick. I don't know if Dave is still a Chiefs fan or not, but we do live about an hour away from the stadium, and tickets are very cheap because the team is very good. And I just thought I'd throw that out there to you. That,
so you got something?
They give them away, is what I hear. So I'm kidding, kind of. But tonight, I want to ask you a question before we get into our passage of Scripture. And it goes where we need to go tonight. And the question is this: do you have the heart of compassion that Christ had? Or do you have the heart of compassion that Christ has? And some of you sit there thinking, I don't like that question. Sometimes the toughest questions we're asked in Scripture that Christ asked of people are the ones that cause us to have a gut check. And I don't know about you, those are the ones that usually make me feel a little more uncomfortable. Because it's easy to skate around the ones, do you love Jesus? Anyone sitting here tonight would say, yes, I'm fond of Jesus. If we ask, do you love God? Yes. But when we get down to the nitty-gritty and we ask the question, do you have the heart of compassion that Christ has? It's a gut check. So tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's tucked away. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And it's Luke chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 11. I want you to follow along with me. We're going to read this in sections tonight and try to dissect it a little bit to look at what Christ was showing through His actions to His disciples and to the onlookers. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. As He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of His mother, and she was a widow. That's big. Mark that real quick. That's big. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, His heart went out to her, and He said two simple words, don't cry. Verse 14, then He went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still, and He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's a lot right there in a few passages of Scripture. First off, let's look at the fact, we'll go on the back end first, that there was a dead guy and he's alive. That's kind of a big thing. Let's think about this again. A dead guy who's decomposing, you understand, in his coffin, and Jesus says, get up, and he sits up. When we talk about this heart of compassion, there's something about Jesus going up to this woman and saying, don't cry. Have you ever been in a moment when you had to say the right words at the right time? And you didn't really know what to say, but you muster all that you have within you to come up with the one or two words to say the right thing to that person at the right time. I don't think Jesus had to think much because He's the Son of God. But He came up with, don't cry. I want us to think about this a minute. In the culture of that time, remember I said, Mark, that it's a big thing. It was a widow and her only son. Her husband obviously had already passed away. And her son, her only son, has now died also. Which means the provider for their home, the provider for their means, is in the coffin. The second generation's in the coffin. Jesus walks into a city with a group of people where the city gates are set up. At one end there's a gate, and at the other end there's another gate, and there's walls around it. So there's only one way in and one way out. And as He walks by the crowd, He takes time to look over at a funeral procession and see a woman who's in need. He leaves His party, if you will, and walks over and says, "Don't cry." I ask you tonight, church, with that question that I started with, do you have the heart of compassion that Christ has? I have the privilege of serving at a church in Topeka, Kansas, and we just recently were able to hire a couple more staff on our church. We've been blessed to have a young man come on staff with us who oversees our college age and high school ministry. Morgan has a heart just for service. That's the best way I can tell you. If he could drive around with a weed eater and snippers and just go to random people's house and clean their yard up and just leave a note that says Jesus loves you, he would do it all day long. The only problem is he gets poison ivy, okay? Like the rest of us. And with that, I have to say, he's spurred on some thoughts and process with our staff and with our eldership and stuff of, are we really demonstrating the heart of compassion to people around us? We as a church had begun looking at some things and started really asking some tough questions. And hear this question clearly. Do we care about people outside our walls? Do we care about people who live next to our building? Do we care about those who Jesus cares about? We have a small group that meets on Sunday nights, and we've kind of listened to some of these things, and we decided we're going to try something. We're going to just do what we can do to show compassion and love to people, even if it's the most uncomfortable thing. So we watched this video. If you ever need a good idea, just copy someone else. There's usually a good idea. We decided off this video, we're going to get rolls of quarters and just go to the local laundromat and give them away. That's what we were going to do. Why? We have no idea. Except we know that people at the laundromat, what do you need to run your laundry machine? Quarters. But they should have informed Nate and our small group of how expensive the laundromat is these days. Very expensive. Like $6 for a load of laundry. Maybe Topeka's high, but I can tell you the guy that owns it, he's sitting pretty well right now. We decided we're going to do this, so we went on a Saturday, we took our rolls of quarters, and Nate, being the leader of the group, so well prepared, I didn't even have quarters, all I had was a $20 bill, so we went to the laundromat where the machine had been rigged up, so it actually took a 20, and I had two pockets just loaded with quarters. I looked like a middle school kid ready to go to the arcade. And we showed up, there was about 8 of us, and we decided we're going to stand outside and we're going to pray first. God, just, we're going to pray, and you use us how you want us to be used. So we stepped around the corner to pray so we didn't look like the church group coming to assault the laundromat, where we could pray where God would hear us, but maybe those that knew we were coming wouldn't see us. We walked inside, and little by little, we started just giving quarters away. And one lady says, "Why are you doing this?" And a guy in our group says, "I don't know. I don't know. We just know that you have a need, and we want to show you Jesus. That's it. And Jesus isn't necessarily in the quarter, but we believe Jesus would provide for people's needs with no strings attached." So we started doing that, and little by little, it was very cool. Got to meet one couple who actually had a child together. They're not married, and he works at a place where he goes and cleans out big coal bins and like energy turbines and stuff. They work like 6 weeks at a time, then they come back and they leave, and he's gone for 6 to 8, 10 weeks at a time. And he says, "You know what?" He's getting ready to leave. He says, "You know what? I've only went to church before with my grandma." And he says, "She made me go." We said, "Oh, okay." He says, "Where's that church at again?" And I told him, and he says, "We might come visit." See, when you show compassion to people at church, you better be ready for the fact that you're going to get people that come near you that maybe are a little bit different than what you're used to. And that came true at the next laundromat we went to. We decided to go the next one down the road, a little ways across town. We went there, it was a little rougher neighborhood. We decided, hey, there's got to be people here who need quarters. So we went there and started handing out quarters. And to our amazement, we received blessing more than we ever could bless anyone else. Maybe that's lack of faith, but it was true. There was a lady there, a black lady, in her probably late 30s. She had two high school daughters, 14 and 16. She comes in and we just started assaulting people with quarters. We'd go up to them and say, "Hey, you want quarters?" Who doesn't take money, right? One guy said, I don't need your money. He says, I could buy this place if we wanted to. We said, well, you, he says, but I'll take a quarter. So he took a quarter. But now we saw this lady walk in the door with her 14-year-old daughter. And she looks over at us and she's got a heaping mound of laundry. And I just went up with my pocket of quarters. You understand, I'm trying to get rid of these things because it's causing me back problems. And I asked her, would you like some quarters? And she began to weep and just cry. And her daughter, who's 14, stood there kind of annoyed a little bit, you know, with her texting on her cell phone. Mom's crying. She's like, Mom, she says, you don't understand. And she's just crying. She couldn't get it out. We said, we'll load it for you. $6.25 a load. Not that money matters. It took 10 washing machines to fill all her put all her clothes inside there. We started loading it. As we got it going, I wasted laundry detergent. I asked her, how much do you put in the top? She said, a couple glugs. So I put a couple glugs in of the laundry detergent we brought. It was a 120 load, you know, deal. And she had 10 loads and half it was gone by the time we got done. It was a great thing. She looks over at us and this is what she said, church. She says, just a minute ago, I sold my last food stamps so that I could wash my clothes. She says, you guys are angels. I said, no, just Nate. And she, as the time went on, we got to talk to her more and more. I asked her daughter, who was staying there kind of embarrassed, yet annoyed. I said, so what's your name? And she told me. And I said, so where do you go to school at? She told me, inner city school, that their graduation rate is 51% of every ninth grader enters. 51% of them walk across the stage. Not great statistics. And I said, so what do you do? I play volleyball and track, but I had to quit this year. And I said, why is that? And her mom, standing right next to her, goes, tell him. Tell him. She says, I had a baby. She's in her second semester of her freshman year and has a baby. And I asked her the question I thought was going to be uncomfortable, but I just had to ask. I said, were you able to keep your child? Her mom says, tell him. She says, my mom said I was going to. So she's 3 months old and she whips out her phone and shows us a picture. And from that moment, her mom just continued to cry and we got ready to leave. Her laundry's all dry and she says, no, stop, just wait. She gets up her phone, she calls her preacher and she says, I want to tell you about these people who just showed Jesus to me. She goes, I'm going to pray for them. Will you pray with me? So she made us all circle up in the middle of the laundromat and she prayed for us because compassion was shown for her. See, church, I ask, do we have the heart of compassion that Jesus had? And some of you might be sitting here thinking, why, how is that showing compassion? Jesus showed compassion to someone that was dead. Through someone that was dead, he raised him from the dead. So his mom knew that he loved her. You see, when we do this work that God calls us to do, verse 16 is what it's all about. So they were all filled with awe and praise to God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help His people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. See, that's the tricky thing about when we show compassion to people. If we get any credit for it, it might not be what God's work is. In the end, if God receives the glory, that's what we're about. Is it not, church? And I have to say, for some of us, that's difficult. Because when we show compassion to people, we might just have to give the $20 that we had in our pocket without knowing where it's going to go. We might have to step up and help provide food for our neighbors that we know are spending their dollars in a way they shouldn't be spending their dollars. Why? Because Jesus would feed them. In prayer and hope that who receives the glory? God. That's difficult. You see, I like to control things sometimes. Do you have that problem? Do you have that issue? None of you do, I can see. That God puts things before me and I have to say, you know what? I don't think this is from God. This must be from Satan. This ain't from God. We had a guy pull in our parking lot. See, we live in this blessing yet cursed parsonage. You know what that means? It means we live in the parking lot of the church. Okay? Which means our doorbell rings, but it doesn't work anymore, so now they beat on the door harder, right? It doesn't happen very often, but we had a gentleman who pulled up just the other day and asked for some gas.
And I got to be honest with you, church, kind of a confession. I helped him. Then he came back again, and I helped him a little bit. And the third time he came back, I said, you know, it's all we can do. And I have to tell you, to be very honest with you, until I started preparing this message, I had to step back and go, is it? Is it all that we can do? Is it all that Nate can do to represent Jesus to them? You see, the last part of this verse is when it says, they all were filled with awe and praised God. I don't know about you, but usually when I'm filled with awe is not when Nate knows what he's doing. It's when I go into it blind and God fills in the blanks. And as we look at what it means to have compassion for other people, there's a correlation for us as churches. If you know the statistic or not, there's over 3,000 churches, Bible-teaching churches, that close in our country every year. 3,000 of them. 3,000. I don't even know 3,000 churches, but 3,000 of them close. And I wonder if the reason why doors don't close on churches is because we're not opening our hearts to those who Jesus would open His heart to. See, on that day, the woman that came from in the town of Nain, I don't know what His disciples thought they were getting into. I don't know what they were. They're just along for the parade and along for the ride. You know, He just came off teaching all about the Beatitudes. You know that? And the one that really jumps out to this is judging others. Jesus teaches it to His disciples. And then they come into Nain, and He puts it all into practice by extending His heart to a lady who lost her son. Why? The only thing I know Scripture says is because He loved her. Because He showed compassion. So I ask you, church, are you doing that in your own lives? Some of you are sitting here tonight and you have people who live next door to you that you've never shared the word, the gospel message with. And I hear it in my church a lot that we hear people say, I'm not good at being an evangelist. That's not my gift. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see where Jesus said, we said we each have our gifts and our talents and our abilities, but if you know the gospel message, if you've taken on Jesus Christ in water and baptism and rose again, you are a minister of the gospel. That's tough sometimes, isn't it? But when the truth lands, the way we can minister best sometimes is by reading this, storing it in our heart, and going and just addressing people. Other people that are sitting here, you already talked to your neighbors, but it's a little closer now. You have people in your family that if they were to meet judgment today, they would not be in heaven. And you know that. Not based on what Nate has taught you, but based on what you've read in Scripture. And for so long, and for some of us, we've just sat and wiped it off, haven't we? We brush it off our shoulders. But well, God will take care of that. God does take care of that. But that does not negate us of our responsibility to demonstrate a heart of compassion for them, for their soul, for their livelihood, for their eternal well-being. And then there's maybe some of us, last but not least, that we have not even addressed our own salvation. There's some sitting here tonight, you don't have to look at your dining room table, you just have to look in the mirror. And if you looked in the mirror and if you're blatantly honest and radared against God's Word, heaven's not an option because you have not been obedient to what God calls us to do. Church, that's what compassion is about, you see, because Jesus was compassionate to the point of obedience to God to death on the cross. He showed compassion to you and to me and to all of mankind. And I think about that because I just got done preaching two worship services this morning about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I step back and go, it makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. You can read it in 9 different ways, flip it upside down, and it makes no sense why God would choose that for us. Why would Jesus choose to suffer for us? And see, and then this messed up kingdom, which is upside twisted around, where the first shall be last, the last shall be first, where the poor shall be rich and the rich shall be poor. We as Christians are called to serve and and demonstrate compassion to not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to those also who do not know Him. So church, I leave that with you tonight. Do you have the heart of compassion that Christ had? Do you demonstrate that in your daily walk? If you do not, pray about that. Show that, read Scripture, see what it says. I can tell you today, I'm not the best. Not by any mark. I can tell you when I sit in my office and the phone rings, there's sometimes I just want to hit the mute button. Because you never know what's on the other end. But I've had to grow to understand that sometimes maybe that phone call or that giving of quarters is God's way of allowing us to show Jesus Christ to a dark and lost world. Because we have a gift. It's priceless. I want to read something to you real quick. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 5 through 5. It says, "Praise be to God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen? "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." When you think about that, that's what's been prepared for you and me who are in Christ. When you demonstrate compassion to the lost, that's what you're showing them. If you do not demonstrate compassion to the lost, you're withholding a gift that does not spoil, that does not fade, and does not go away. Do you have the heart of compassion that Christ has? Are you seeking it? If you are, praise God. If you're not, dive deeper. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to You. And Lord, I just ask tonight that you peel our hearts, You dive deep into our hearts, God, and help us know and help us see who it is that we need to show compassion to. Father, we live in a dog-eat-dog world where it's every man for himself and no one ever wins. But Lord, help us see that through You, through the sacrifice of Your Son, that we all have the opportunity of glory someday with You in heaven. And Father, let us share that with others. Let us share that with those that we know do not know Jesus. Let us share it with those that we do know Your Son, to be an encouragement to them. Father, as we read what Peter wrote in his letter, let us be mindful of the priceless gift we have through Your Son, Jesus. And as Jesus demonstrates compassion to the woman in the city of Nain, let us demonstrate compassion to whether we're in Topeka, whether we're in Cedar Falls, whether we're in Janesville, whether we're in Waverly, whether we're in Dyke, wherever we're at. Let that become our Samaria so that You can receive the glory for that. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.